the Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I welcome back a fine guest. He stuck around. He's Dr. Harvey Kay. He's a professor emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's a Packer homer like myself. And Harvey, you're trying to answer the question before, you know, I so rudely interrupted with a commercial break. How are we going to save democracy, man? So let me tee it up for you, Professor. How are we going to save democracy?
Okay. So as I said, we created the makings of a democratic republic when working people pushed George Washington to embrace the idea, not simply of rebellion, but of revolution. We literally had a second revolution when slaves in the South and workers in the North pushed, or at least, well, pushed from the South and enabled from the North, Lincoln to not simply seek to save the Union, but to do so by abolishing slavery. In other words, the Civil War wasn't going to be about putting back together the House divided. It was going to be about making freedom national, okay? And then with FDR, I mean, FDR actually went into it determined to encourage working people to push him. And he did over and over again, and they pushed him in the end further than he might even originally imagine going. So that he did want Social Security, working people enabled him to pursue Social Security. He wasn't necessarily going to do two bills empowering workers to organize labor, but to organize themselves into unions. But he, in the end, did so because of the push by working people themselves. I mean, over and over again through American history, in those three, by the way, those were mortal crises, 1770s, 1860s, 1930s into the 1940s, mortal crises. And the way we transcended those crises is we went radical and we compelled good men, extraordinary men, to lead in their own ways revolutions in American public life. Now, what does that tell us? And I can imagine everyone listening starting to laugh when I say this, but I am utterly serious. We have to make Biden a great president. We may not want to, he may not want us to, but we have no choice but to do so. Most immediately, regarding November, he seems to be waking up to the fact that they are going to get shellacked in November. We have got to get our labor unions, we've got to get whatever social and community organizations we belong to send direct messages to the White House. You want to win in November? First, sign off on getting rid of student debt. That's first. Second of all, start mobilizing Democrats to actually look like they're fighting for the kinds of things we need to do in this country. If you can't necessarily legislate, you've got to at least show you're capable of fighting. And I don't mean having symbolic votes like as they did today in the Senate. I mean that these folks are going to get out there, they're going to grab the media by the neck, and they're going to talk till they're blue in the face about this, what the Republicans will do to us if they win in November, and what Democrats will, let them apologize for this past year and say, we want to do better for you. We're going to fight inequality. We're going to improve lives. We're going to make sure that Americans get the kind of legislation that they need. As far as I'm concerned, they should rally around that 21st century economic bill of rights I've spoken to you about many a time. That's at least to try to hold on to things in November. And then beyond that, let them go out and actually make things happen. Because 2024 was going to come up really fast after 2022.
Harvey K., my fine guest. Harvey, I know that you've endorsed here in the state of Wisconsin, U.S. senatorial candidate Tom Nelson. And yeah. Tom Nelson wants to run against Ron Johnson, but first he's got to win a primary. And you and I are both pragmatic enough to look at the current polling out and say that your pal Tom, and I like Tom, but he's trailing. And the message that Tom is advocating for is an economic bill of rights. These are the very same things that you want to see a good Democrat advocate for. And you know, our pal Fancy Brian describes him as, you know, the guy with the most progressivism. You know, he's been digging in the progressive garden the most. Well, if he's all the things we want, and this is a reflection of the will of the grassroots of the people of the Democratic Party, why don't we see a guy like Tom Nelson leapfrogging the billionaire's son or the other self-funders in this race? I mean, it seems to me like money's still winning the day, Harvey.
Americans have come to believe that the way things are is where they're going to be stuck. That's something we have to overcome. The other thing we have to overcome is, first of all, Mandela Barnes is the man with name recognition. I mean, he's lieutenant governor. Okay. The sad thing about Mandela Barnes, in my mind, is that if you look at his website, he doesn't stand for very much. Too many people project onto him the kind of progressive politics that Tom Nelson himself is pursuing and seeking to take to Washington. Lassery is easily explained. He's a part of the Bucks organization, right? I mean, the championship basketball team. What are you gonna do?
And he's had a few dollars worth of air support. Millions of dollars worth of air
millions
support.
Millions of dollars. And by the way, I've looked at his website. I'm impressed by his platform. It's not as progressive yet as Tom Nelson. And if it comes down to it, if I'd be happy to talk, even though I've endorsed Nelson, I'd be happy to talk to Lassery if he wants to learn how to be even a better progressive. I'd talk to Barnes. But by the way, for weeks and weeks, Barnes did not meet with us when we sought to meet with him. And, you know, I'm not closed-minded about other candidates. I just think right now the voice of Tom Nelson is the progressive voice in this campaign.
Okay. You endorsed him. Can he win? Can my pal Tom, win?
Can he win? I don't, at this moment, I have little confidence that he can win, but I'm going to do what I can in my own way to try to help him move ahead.
So is the message more important, the candidate more important? Where do these things meet?
Well, in practical terms right now, we're up against what they call reality. And the reality is that money and name recognition are hard to overcome. But that doesn't mean we abandon the prospect of a progressive voice. By the way, let them talk on TV together. Let's see what people say after they hear Tom Nelson's honest progressive voice, Lassery's sort of progressive position, and Barnes, unless he all of a sudden, you know, wakes up to what needs to be said, let's possibly see him dance around the progressive questions.
Well, you know, there's
as long as you've asked. You asked, okay?
I did ask because I wanted to know what you thought, Harvey. That's why I bring you on the show, because I know you got chock full of opinions. Harvey, last
That's
one.
That's why
I
they pay me the big bucks in retirement.
Oh, yes. Opinion. Yes, sir. You and I both. We got like 30 seconds left, Harvey. Any shots across the bow of Ron Johnson here?
Well, let me put it this way. Whoever ends up running on the Democratic ticket, I sure damn hope that the Democrats turn out en masse, that the independents turn out en masse, and the Republicans just realize they have an idiot for a candidate, a dangerous idiot.
You know, Ron Johnson today said, you know, the abortion issue, it's a little messy. I'm thinking, so's your candidacy, Ron. Harvey K, always stellar appearances. Appreciate you coming around, Dr. Harvey K. More Devil's Advocates, Hour 2 is next.
See you soon.
Thanks, Harvey.
We've made great progress today.